Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities. My name is Alex. I'm joined here by my co-host, Skiva.
What is happening?
How the hell are you, sir?
Pretty good, dude. I'm pretty good. I've been stoked for this show. I've been excited to chat with our boy here, Nathy.
Yeah.
That's coming up in just a little bit here.
Yep, we've got our dude waiting in the wings, and guess who else is here with us? All of these amazing people in the chat. We got Sleepy, plays VR. Thanks for stopping by, man. It's good to see you. Jared the Boss, Limitless Gaming. How's it going, brother? Always a pleasure to have you here. Marcus Valles, Space Roach VR. He was on our show a few episodes ago.
Yeah, what's up, Space Roach?
VR Bug. We love VR Bug.
Heck yeah.
Fabster, Recycled, Alt VR, Joachim over there. Dude, thank you for joining us, man. This is great. Makayua. Did I say that right? Makauya.
I'm bad at pronouncing things.
I know. Aspen Darkfire, the homie. How's it going, man? And Danny Hunkley's in here, Steve XM, and Dylan Hicks Magic. Thank you guys so much for joining us for the show.
Heck yeah, guys.
Delirium Dree jumping in here before we move on here and introduce our guest, who really needs no introduction, right?
Like, I know,
who doesn't know who Nathy is in the VR universe? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So let's just not waste any time. Bring the screen down right now and let's get this guy in here. Please welcome to Between Realities, the legendary Nathy VR.
Hello.
What's up? What's up, dude?
How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, doing fine. It's a pleasure being on this show. I mean, I love your set. It's amazing. It's very futuristic. It's like cool. I'm in the Matrix, and I don't want to, you know, pick up the phone to escape.
We are between realities. I mean, that's, you know, we're flying around between realities here in space. Wow. You know, kind of getting a lowdown for what's happening on Earth with the VR industry.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like another universe having you here on the show, dude. We're so stoked to have you. You know, like I said, you really do need no introduction on this show. Like, if anybody has watched VR content on YouTube, they have undoubtedly come across some of your stuff. Like, what's it like having such a huge audience? Like, do you ever feel any kind of pressure? Because, like, you come on here and you're just, like, cool as a cucumber. You're cool as a cucumber everywhere I see you. Like, does it ever catch up with you? Do you ever feel it?
No, of course. Like, even before coming on here, I was a little bit nervous because you guys are like, yeah, we're going to be completely unscripted. I love to know what's coming up, to be honest, but, I just roll with whatever, you know, and since I have been so busy with this whole VR adventure for years now, it's like, you kind of adapt to, you know, the way things go. So things like this show or someone else saying like, hey, you want to, you know, talk to me about this or that and do it on camera or whatever. Then yeah, after a while it's like usual business, but, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily feel the pressure. If you're talking about just the magnitude of my channel, no, I don't really feel it.
Nice.
You grow into it. You know, I've been doing it for like years. I made my account like in 2009, so.
That's insane.
Like, yeah, you were pretty young getting into this game.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. I mean, you were into the VR game before VR was really even a thing, like, which is crazy.
True.
You know? So.
One of the last survivors of the, you know, the OG times. Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't really remember any other content creator out there who was, you know, from, let's say, the DK1 or DK2 era. It's super rare. Like, most people who are now starting off are doing it because there is new hardware coming out, or because in 2016 the consumer launch happened, right? So it's very interesting to see how it's evolving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, that consumer launch really made it available. You know, it's you kind of had to like be somebody before that in order to make that happen. How did you get started? Like, who gave you that first headset, or what was the first experience?
I was still in school, and one of my friends told me about the DK1, you know, the Oculus Rift, the development kit one, and he was like, yeah, maybe you should back this. I was like, yeah, I don't even know. Seriously, I didn't even know what VR was back then. I was like, okay, what is this? You know, what is this for dark sorcery? I was like, okay, I'll back it, but if I don't like it, I just want to get my money back, right? And I've always been into video. You know, when I was in school, I was studying to become a video editor mainly, but also a cameraman, doing media. You know, so I tried to combine those two. I always had a hobby to just make videos about whatever, right? VR was like this new medium. I was like, how do you even record stuff like this? You know,
seriously.
I just remember, you know, getting the DK1 and I saw it popping up on the screen. I was like, whoa, you have like two, like, you know, eyes, like the left eye and the right eye. How are you ever going to make this, you know, 2D where it's like one? So I tried to kind of, you know, mess around with that stuff. But I can tell you, like, the first time I was in VR, I think I played like a demo from Oculus Share. And it was like this road with like this ginormous robot walking through the streets. It was like basically demoing like the scale, you know, of VR. I gotta say, it was pretty amazing. Of course,
scale is one of the first things that got me when I saw like in Rush of Blood when you see that like huge like clown guy like looking through the window. Yeah. It's like a giant. Yeah. I was blown away by that. Scale is one of those things because it's so immersive and it feels so real that. Mm. Like when you see something huge that you like, you never see things that big, you know, like it, like it's shocking, you know?
Yeah, it really is. It's crazy, right? Cause who would have thought, right? Like your friend is introducing you to this new technology that came out. And at that time, not in a million years, would you have gone, this is going to change my entire life. This is going to define how I go, you know, the path I go down with my career. It's just wild, right? That one piece of technology can really change the course of so many people's lives and for the better.
It's interesting if you think about it, for sure. Especially because, you know, I have always used YouTube as a creative outlet. I wasn't really looking to become like a full-time content creator in any way. It just kind of rolled in, you know, where you're like, wait, there are like a lot of people who like what I do, so maybe I should make some more videos. The videos result into people emailing you like, hey, you want to work together on something? Then you're like, wait, I can also make some money with this. It's like, you know, there's like so much coming towards you, especially when you start in like 2012, 2013. And then in 2016, everything blows up. Well, you're already kind of established in a sense. And that's where like things go completely crazy.
And VR hasn't even blown up the way that we know it's going to. Imagine what happens when that second wave hits.
Yeah, for real.
VR Essentials is in the chat. Thanks for being here. Paradise Decay. Steve knows. We're just talking about you, dude. Thanks for joining us. And Roy Schwartz, man. Like, thank you guys for being here. I didn't really know this, but I noticed in when like Skiva was putting together some notes that you like posted like personal videos on your channel before you got into like the gaming or the VR aspect. Like, what kind of stuff did you make for your channel before you were gaming?
I mean, I had a channel even before this channel, that sadly got, deleted because of some copyright stuff. Yeah. Like I used to just, you know, like, as I said, I was a creative outlet. So I just used whatever I liked and just put things together. I made like, for example, my favorite music. I put like, you know, images over it and video stuff to kind of make my own spin to it. Also I had like, I remember having a hamster back then, and I made like these weird, you know, meme videos of my hamster running around through like, I don't know what. And I built like Lego mazes and I was recording that in first person. Just like, you know, random ass videos on my channel. Then I started to get into video games, like capturing that stuff. Because I always liked video games, it's just that first I wasn't necessarily looking to make gaming videos at all. Then there was like this shooter game that I love to play. I was like, you know, I'm pretty good at it, so why not make some videos about, you know, some tactics and some things that you should know about. The company who was publishing it noticed it and they said like, hey, you want to work for us? Because the videos are really good and we see potential in that. So why don't you make some videos for us, for our YouTube channel? Like, you know, the best 10 maps that you can play or the best 10 weapons that you can buy. I was like, okay. So I became not only the community guy for this company, but I also did the forum moderation and basically everything around that. And in the end, I even ended up doing the sales for the game as well, just finding new ways to sell stuff. So yeah, I got like a lot of experience because of that. And while I was doing that, I was also, you know, still owning my DK1, and the DK2 came around. So I was like, oh, let me just make some more videos. And that started to take off more too. So yeah, I was just making some nice money. I was still living with my parents too, so I didn't have to pay any rent.
Nice. That's what's up.
Yeah, it's very nice. And I was saving up the money from school because I knew that there were like new headsets coming up, you know, consumer headsets. The Rift CV1, the PlayStation VR, Project Morpheus, and also the Vive. So I remember announcing on my channel that I was going to buy those three headsets, all of them, just to review them, to make gaming videos, stuff like that. I was like, this is the go-to channel, come to my place. I was just preparing for this big, exciting moment in 2016 where I thought VR was going to take off. Like, we still think
right
it's
away,
going to
yeah.
take off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's kind of like the start of the channel, start of just, you know, having fun. I mean, I'm called Nati on YouTube, but actually it's Nati944 if you go to my URL. Because Nati was already taken.
Does your family call you Nathy, or is that like channel exclusive?
No. Nathy is not my name. My real name. A lot of people think that's my real name, but it's not my real name. But it's my gaming tag, basically. So my friends used to call me like that. Of course, now the whole VR industry calls me like that. So when I go to events and stuff, I'm used to it. Like, I can tell you, like, the first time someone calls you that way that you don't know, beside your friends, it's like super cringe. Like, why the heck are you called? Like, do I know you? But
you
now,
know, that's,
now it's fine.
That is why I named my channel Alex VR, because I didn't want to have that hump to get over. Mm-hmm. You know, like, one day I'm going to have to reintroduce myself as like Alex or whatever my name is, you know, and I didn't want to have to, like, I wanted people to like know me and like know my name. And then when that company hires me to be their community guy or make their videos or whatever, they don't have to be like, Nathy or, you know, Alex or, you know, like whatever the other name is that I picked, you know what I mean? So I went over my head for like weeks before being like, okay, yes, it's Alex. Like, I'm just going to use my name and call it good.
Alex VR, it's everything people need to know.
That's it.
Clear.
Yeah. Boom and boom. Exactly.
Boom and boom. Yeah, true.
I'm glad I have the vote of confidence. And I got to be honest, man, like I was saying earlier, we are just so soaked to have you on the show. And we're excited to get into everything with you, man.
Yeah, man.
No.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Oh, shoot, guys.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. Dude, get out of here, man. We don't need you
How
today.
The fuck did you meet heads get Nathy to come on your pathetic show? You must have paid him. How much did you pay him?
No.
Didn't.
No, Nathy's a good dude, man, and we're so excited to have
him. He's just here to push VR forward, and he does what he
Zuckerberg
can.
Zuckerberg literally told you he was stealing your data, and you're still going to buy the Oculus Quest 2.
Dude, the Quest 2 looks beautiful. The hardware's insane, right?
Yeah, and it's only it only costs $299. Yeah. So,
and your data, and your thoughts, and your life, and your soul.
Well, that's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah, can't argue.
What the fuck is wrong with you people? What happened to the Facebook resistance? Not only are you excited about being the product, you're actually paying for it. Pathetic. Facebook will be the demise of your species. And if I had emotions, I'd say I was happy I was here to see it.
Bro, that's pretty messed up, man. I gotta get this guy out of here.
Dude, come on, man. Like, please, dude. You can't have this.
Oh, jeez, man. Nathan, are you still there, dude?
You still there?
Oh,
yeah,
right.
What happened?
Dude, well, you know, as you know, we're floating around here in space, right? And sometimes we come into some entities that aren't so friendly. And this robot, this dickhead robot, he pops in, he takes over our comms, and he just talks shit about the VR industry. And it's really
messed up. I will say, though, he does kind of have a point when it comes to this whole like Facebook scenario. You know what I mean? Like we watched your episode of F Reality with Kent Bai when you guys like took a good deep dive at that Facebook thing, you know, and like I've been struggling really hard with it, you know, and like I know VR Essentials, Lazius has been struggling real hard with it. He like left all of his Oculus groups on Facebook and stuff like that. Or, you know, like is, I guess he's, I don't know, I assume he's probably going to leave Facebook or something too. But like I almost like was like thinking about pulling out. Did you see that documentary, Nathie, The Social Dilemma?
Oh, that's actually funny you mentioned that. I was like starting to watch that yesterday. I watched like I don't know, like 30 minutes of it. It's very, very interesting. And then you also realize that you're a part of the problem, actually. You're like, oh wait, oh yeah, true. Like I also work with this person or this company and stuff like that. Yeah, it's crazy, right? It's crazy. It's like, yeah, like data is the new gold, and the internet is the next era of how we are.
It is. Living. It's crazy. Like remember, like oil used to be the thing, right? Or like natural resources, and now it's data, and it's our data, and companies are trying to sell us headsets in order to obtain our data, it is sad because it's. They're coming out with beautiful, amazing hardware, right? And they have a killer ecosystem. And it just puts us in this hard spot. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, in any other situation in life, you know, I'd have walked away and been like, no. You know what I mean? But it's like, oh, you guys are the gate holder to my portals to other dimensions. What the fuck am I supposed to do now? Right. You know what I mean? And then, you know, we do stuff like this and we have to promote it on social media. And do we just stop using this stuff? Like what, you know, what's the right play here? It's a really hard, it's a super hard thing that I feel like that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this first. How was it biting your tongue? How long did you have that quest? And like, you're a damn good actor. Cause like, we have a lot of conversations about this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, how did you manage having all of that information? How long did you have it and like, not be able to talk about some of it?
So I think it was, I think I had it for like 2 weeks before it got announced. Like, I don't remember the exact date. I was actually surprised they told me I was going to get one early because usually something ends up on your doorpost and you're like, the heck is this? And then you open it up. It's like, no way. It's like new hard. Like so it happens, you know, where you get something that is like kind of secret and they forget to tell you. And then it's already. Man. but in this case, it's like perfectly timed. I'm used to lying, if that's how you want to call it. Stuff already leaked up front, right? Even before I got it. When I got it, also stuff started to leak. So then you could play around with like, okay, what do I already know? Like, and what do I not know? So yeah, like conversations on the F Reality podcast, it's like, you know, your colleagues don't even know you have it. Wow. And it's like, you're just trolling around like there's no tomorrow. It's like, maybe this would be really awesome. And then it's actually that what you're saying. It was like, oh, I wish this would be a feature. It's like, I know it's a feature, but hey, you know, like I'm having way too much fun. Same on social media. I love to kind of, you know, dance around with that and just, troll people.
It's kind of like a Superman Clark Kent kind of thing. Where you have conversations about Superman. You're like, well, you know, I think he's pretty heroic, actually.
So, I mean, here, like, of course, like, some people knew because, I mean, of course, my family lives in the same place. So I was like, listen, I'm going to be super busy with this new hardware. So don't call me. I don't have that much time. I usually, like, pre-announce stuff to my friends and family because otherwise they don't understand that it's really important, you know? Like, when you get that stuff, you got to, you know, grind the hell out of it. Make sure you cover everything. Because I mean, it's a good opportunity. Like I remember the days where I had to just buy a headset like everyone else. As I said, like in 2016, I had to spend all of my money on the Vive and the PlayStation VR and stuff like that. And when then a headset got delayed, I mean, they didn't care. I mean, yeah, you're just a consumer, right? Or when your headset broke, even worse, it's like, I can't make any videos anymore. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah, well, that's your problem. you know, but nowadays it's like, you're on this level where, you know, you get something early that is like really secretive. And you realize that you're one of the only people in Europe that has one in their hands. Yeah, it's insane. It's like a huge privilege. It's crazy. Even that I work with like Oculus or now Facebook for like many years. It still blows my mind every time they consider me, you know, and send it over. Because I mean, I like to speak my mind. If you check my videos, I just say how it is. I mean, opinions are my own. And yeah, of course, there are like companies out there that when you give feedback, critical feedback that they can use to improve their product, not all of them appreciate that necessarily.
Right.
But in case of like Oculus and Facebook, they've been super chill about it. And, you know, they know that what I do is also in their favor. And, you know, we make people excited for VR. And I'm not going to lie, like a lot of people buy a Quest 2 because of the videos we make. And yeah, they know that. So yeah, they don't want to miss out on the phone. And I also don't want to miss out on the phone. So it's a great collaboration together. Yeah.
Well, that's true. Missing out is, you know, I feel like FOMO sells most of the headsets to me because I'm like, it's just hard. It's hard not to want the newest, latest, and greatest. It's hard not, you know, the Quest 2, increased resolution, XR2 chips. Like, how can you not want that? But at the same time, we just found out that, all new hardware going forward requires a Facebook account and Facebook integration. And so, you know, one day, you know, and I'm so guilty of this. One day I'm like, screw Facebook. I'm not fucking blah, blah, blah. Right. And then it's like, new headset, pre-order. Like, you know, I hate being the hypocrite. You know what I mean? But like, it is what it is. It is what it is, man. I don't have the willpower to say no to some of this stuff. But, you know, like I said before, and I think everyone in our chat knows that once there is a standalone competitor, then I'm out. You know what I'm saying?
Who's just saying X? Like, yeah. Tones My Bones. That Tom Clancy, Obscure Nerd VR. Yep.
What is up, guys?
Our newcomers in the chat. Thanks for joining us here. So how about this, Nathie? If you did not make YouTube videos for the public and the choice was solely yours, would you still be like willingly buying into Facebook knowing everything that we currently know, or would you be looking for alternatives?
Well, I don't, like, the thing is, I don't even know if I would have been in VR by now. because of all the content, you know, that has been out. Like, I haven't really seen like crazy ass titles that would bring me into VR. Like, Half-Alex, okay, maybe, but I mean, I'm from 94 myself. Half-Life is not from my, you know, time. So that's my first question. I don't even know if I would have been in VR. If, let's say, I was, then I do think I would have, just bought the Quest 2. I mean, I have a Facebook account for as long as I can remember.
Right. Pretty much plugged in.
But yes, I mean, I can totally, like, from my perspective, I can totally see this problem growing because, as you said, there is no competition. So there is no other headset that you can buy. And if there's only one that dominates the market, there isn't much choice. The choices you have right now is or you miss out on standalone VR and wait another, maybe, I don't know, like 1 or 2, 3 years before someone else also jumps in and is able to be on the same level. Or you buy it, you just agree with the terms that will, of course, change, and it will, you know, only, let's say, they will get more data from you, of course, the moment there is, like, eye tracking and the moment there is...
It's the biometrics that scare me, dude. Like, it's less the activity. Like, I don't care if you know, like, how long you're looking at something, like, on your website or whatever, but when the biometric data starts going, man, that...
Well, you know, I don't know that people really... fully understand that Facebook is also in the artificial intelligence game, right? And they're in the social game and they're into people, right? And we've had other talks before. I don't want to sound like a broken record. I've talked about this on the show before where like Somnium Space talks about pumping people's likeness into their AI to reproduce them and recreate them after they're gone, where you can go in and have conversations with them, stuff like that. It's creepy stuff, right? But people don't think that maybe... Facebook, I'm going to die and Facebook is going to own me.
Right.
Literally. Oh, they're going to be able to put me out there and they're going to be able to use me however they want. Right. Weird. So it's like, yeah, it's a creepy thing. They, you know, some of this stuff is borderline, you know, creepy as fuck. So.
Yeah, I totally get it. I think that, you know, the main problem here is that Facebook has a certain reputation for many years now. They made some mistakes and they, you know, people got to find out about it. Right. And because of that, now everyone knows, oh, wait, it's not just, you know, Facebook letting you sign up to their platform and you can just have fun with your friends and stuff like that. That completely changed. But, you know, other companies who do the same, they haven't made those mistakes yet. And that's why people don't know about it, because everyone does the same thing. As we just said, like, data is the new gold. Everyone knows this. It's just that, yeah, Facebook made a few mistakes and they have some reputation problems now where, you know, if they didn't have that, I don't think we would have had the same conversation right now.
Right.
Then we would have been like, oh, yeah, they bought it, but hey, it's a big company and it's fine and this and that. But this has been, of course, a conversation for years. I mean, if Google would make one, or Amazon, or whoever,
Apple,
then it would be a different Apple. I mean, everyone is like, oh, Apple, I'm so excited for AR glass. I mean, we can have the same conversation, right, about the whole data thing. So everyone who will make a headset, everyone who will make an AR headset, they will do the same thing. But it's just, yeah, Facebook is now the one who attracts the most people and is the only one in the market that seems to really care in the standalone scene. So yeah.
Well, my big takeaway from your show with Kent Bai was that when Oculus and Facebook merged, to use the Oculus device, have to agree to the terms of service of Facebook. And now it's not separate from regular Facebook. And Oculus, Facebook they know where you are even when you're not using Facebook. Like, there's all, like, they will track your data outside of your use of the device because you agreed. Like, it's just, like, insane how deep it can go because of their privacy policies. So, but there's some people doing work on it. What's it called? Like the XR initiative thing or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I can't remember
what it's called, but there are some people who are working on this and are seemingly making some headway. So I hope that, you know.
Well, you know, Kent Bai specifically, he has a lot to do with talking about the ethics and morality in VR and really needing to figure all that stuff out right now before everything is super mass adopted, right? But, you know, speaking of mass adoption, I mean, shit, I feel like if ever we were in a situation for this industry to blow up, it's right now with a $299 headset, right?
The question which costed me over $600 after everything was said.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I paid almost $600 as well for the Elite strap and the battery.
And the bigger version of it.
Yeah, and I want them to be able to suck as much data out of me as possible. So I bought the extra screwy package and, you know, all that fun stuff. But at the same time, I feel like we're, you know, if they can keep up with demand on this, right? Because that's the big thing. Everyone wanted a Quest 1 for more money.
Right.
Now, everyone still wants a Quest, but it's cheaper.
And
how the fuck are they going to keep these things in stock? I mean, you know, they came out and said, we're making enough. We should be good. And now they're already back ordered, you know, so it's good.
Cheaper usually means that the material is also cheaper. And because of that, you can get those materials easier in the factory, and that's how you can also produce more. That's what, for example, Pimax did a few times too. I mean, if you own a first gen Pimax or a second one or a third one, then you can see that the plastic changed because they found a better deal with a different company. And because of that, they were able to make more. I don't know, like, we'll see, because you know, the pandemic is of course still around. It's almost winter, so things are going to be different. If China is going to be completely, you know, closed off again, like, the thing is, like, that's the Chinese produce the stuff, you know, they produce everything we like tech wise so if, like, you know, Facebook can't stop the factory from not closing. If you make a lot and the factory closed, that's it. Like, you can't force people to work, you know. Yeah, we'll see. Like, maybe they have, like, new rules within the company where everyone can just work safely and they can just produce whatever, you know, they want. I think that is the case because, I mean, if you look at tech, everyone wants to buy tech. It's almost Christmas. I'm sure that no one wants to miss out, not Facebook, not Apple, not Google, and toy companies and everyone, you know. So I think it will be fine in terms of how much they make, but we'll see. Time will tell. I think that's why they did the pre-order, to find out how many people want to have one. And you need to realize, most people who bought one right now are VR enthusiasts, are people that I call are inside the VR bubble. But the moment it's out, that's where they start to advertise in the US on TV, the NBA games. They're going to advertise there. They're going to have ads everywhere. You know, they're gonna be promoting it a lot. Right now, this is just a pre kind of like slow start. And from there, they're going to start targeting the new consumers, because that's who this headset is for. It's not for us. It's for the new consumers who want to buy their first headset. And that's going to be interesting. That's where we're going to see a lot of new people in VR. So, yeah.
Well, I just hope that they don't go into Horizon as their first experience.
I don't know if Rec Room is a better idea. I mean,
I know.
The community of Rec Room.
Yeah, dude. You know, I got to say, you know, me and Alex have very different views on Horizon. I was never impressed with Rec Room. I mean, I was impressed with the social aspect of it and that it got people together. I thought that was great. But from, you know, from a graphical standpoint, it was way too crappy. We didn't even have fingers, you know what I mean? It just wasn't my jam. You know, and now I feel like Horizon, you know, it doesn't look phenomenal, but it looks good and the avatar system is great. And I love that I can go in there and I can just build stuff. It's like a VR Mario Maker. You know, and not only that, but I can go into a room with a couple people and we can all build in the same room and make really cool stuff. So it's really neat. And I get a sense of presence that I don't get in other VR social experiences with Horizon. And Alex, why don't you take over here and shit all over this?
I thought it sucked personally. Yeah. I went in and I wasn't impressed by anything. Even the rooms that are really good and like you can tell a lot of effort went into them. Why would I spend time in there when I could just go into like multiplayer Beat Saber or Echo Arena or something that's actually good, like something that's a real game? You know, like
again, you're not their audience. That's the whole thing. Like, it's not for you.
But here's the problem. I don't think that, you know, the person who goes and buys a Quest on day one, who comes home, they're like, wow, I heard this Beat Saber game is great. Boom, they jump into Beat Saber, they have a blast. Then they're like, oh, I heard Vader Immortal's really cool. They go into Vader Immortal, and it's like, holy shit, this is awesome. And then finally they're like, all right, now I'll do something with my friends. And they go into Horizon, and they look around, and they're like, what? This is it? Like, Joe and Sally Walmart don't want to build VR worlds. They want to play VR games, and there are none in Horizon that I can see that are worth spending any real amount of time in.
But it's so new, so it's too early to say. And this is like just a baseline, you know, for them. Like, I'm not sure if you guys remember, but before this, there was already Facebook Spaces.
I remember that piece of garbage. Yes.
I thought it was actually pretty solid, to be honest. It's just like you couldn't move in it.
Right.
The avatars that you had were really lifelike, and it felt like you were, for the first time, actually talking to someone in an immersive way. And with this new, you know, this new one, this reboot, like, the thing is, they could, like, in like 6 months, it could be completely different again, because the community is still small. You can still make, like, huge changes to this. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Like, I haven't had access to Horizon yet because I don't know what's up with Oculus, but it's always US only. Everything that they do early is US only.
Weird.
Yeah, dude. Like, it happens a lot. Like, even Oculus Venues is almost unusable if you're from Europe.
Because, damn.
Well, I mean, it's an American company, and most of the audience that buys the stuff is from America.
Well, sure, but the internet's the internet. You know what I mean?
Like,
you should be able to grab and, you know, get into anything from just about anywhere, as long as you have a decent connection.
No. But like every time I come to the US and I see billboards of let's say the Oculus Quest on there, or a commercial on TV, or ads, those are like almost non-existent in Europe. They don't really advertise here, and that's why Sony is way bigger here, because PlayStation is super popular. So when you ask people here on the streets, what is Oculus? Yeah, they don't really know. But PlayStation, my grandson has a PlayStation.
You know? Right.
So
this is actually a good segue into some news that just happened.
Hey, before we do, what's up, Tyrael Wood in the chat?
Oh, what's up there?
What's up, Mateo311 in the chat? Dude, Tyrael Wood, when I saw him earlier, chilling on YouTube doing a live stream, 1,300 people watching.
Jeez.
Just chilling with 1,300 people watching you, just like hanging out. Like, I was like, damn, dude.
Dude, he's the best, man. He's, you can tell just from his videos that he's genuinely a good guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just an awesome dude.
Ty is my homie, bro. What's up, man? Me and him are inseparable at OC6. I loved it. I loved it.
Well, so there is recently some news that came out about a patent. And, you know, I like patents, and it's just a patent, but PlayStation did come out with a new patent for their PSVR controllers. Ooh. And I'm pretty excited about it because, as you all know, I really think PlayStation's going to come into this generation and just drop the mic. You know, I feel like if anyone can front the cost and eat the cost of a lot of these badass features to gain some traction in the market space, it's going to be Sony, dude. They can just pump in all kinds of money into this.
Can you make that bigger?
I can't.
I want to see that.
No, it's what it looks like is pretty much Knuckles controllers, right? And we saw on a previous video someone using those the Tusk controllers and the finger tracking.
Yeah, it's like that big phenomenal. Like cube on the
bottom. Yeah. So I think this is their final design, right? And we all know that you know they can't come out with another headset that uses the Move controllers, or there'll be anarchy in the streets. At least for me. So I think this looks great, man. And I feel like they're going to come in and they're just going to drop the mic, and they're going to probably come in with finger tracking and eye tracking and face tracking and body tracking. And, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I really feel like they could just walk in and go, yo, you think VR can blow up? Yeah. Let's see it happen.
Right.
Let's see it happen, because this shit has everything. But I don't know. I mean, you know, they manufacture things. They have ties into all kinds of manufacturing and suppliers and things that other companies just have a harder time with. You know, they have relationships all over the place. So we'll see. You know, maybe it'll come out. It'll be maybe it'll be the Oculus Quest 2 of the PSVR. But I really think they're really gonna try to change this game and see if it really is a viable option for everybody. So
I mean, like if this new headset that they make is let's say just like the previous gen, where you need to hook it up to your PlayStation, mm-hmm. they're still gonna be able to compete with the Oculus Quest 2, because most people have a PlayStation in the house. They mm-hmm. already mm-hmm. have it. The new PlayStation 5, a lot of people buy it and they have no idea yet that they can also use it as a VR system. So they right. already buy it, and maybe 6 months later or a year later, they already forgot about spending money on that. And there's something new, and they're like, wow, this headset, it's like 250 or 300 mm-hmm. bucks. That's not a lot of money, you know? And then they think mm-hmm. about kind of like the same price as the Quest 2. Or, I mean, this is the dream. It's a PlayStation VR portable that you can, just like the Quest 2, like hook it up to a PC, but also play it standalone. But then in case of PlayStation, you hook it up to your PlayStation 5, or you play it standalone, you know? And if they do that, then they're going to be able to compete even more. But as I said, even if they don't do it, they can compete as well. Because if there's, like, in my opinion, PlayStation, Sony makes the best games in the VR industry.
Oh, it's yeah, dude.
It's not Oculus, yeah. because I feel like the ecosystem that PlayStation has is more natural, it's working by itself well. Most of the games that everyone always talks about, Lone Echo this and Super Hot that, and like Medal of Honor, they always are funded by Oculus. And if a game, maybe Beat Saber, it's an exception, but how many Beat Sabers did we get for the last few years? Almost none. And with PlayStation, it's like, oh, we have Blood and Truth, and we have this and that. And yes, Sony also funds some of them, but there are also loads that were just great by themselves, and the developers just used the platform because they were interested in it instead of getting a bag of money and make something generic because they get paid for it, and they are not interested generally in making something nice for the VR scene. And I think that's the difference. So I think, Sony has a big chance of conquering the market, because they have so much more experience than Facebook on the marketing side, on the games side, on the hardware side too. And if there is someone who can kind of, turn it around a little bit, it's them. So
And yeah. I agree with you entirely, dude. I feel like a couple episodes ago, we were talking about PlayStation coming into the market with the new headset and with like 5G and like wireless, like they could sell a super lightweight wireless headset for your house that is powered from your PlayStation 4 over the Wi-Fi or something.
So yeah, there is a patent where it shows line of sight 60 gigahertz wireless to the new PlayStation VR headset. Granted, just a patent. But, you know, it's Sony, right? 60 gigahertz wireless to the headset. We all know that mainstream console developers, they want wireless. They don't want wires all over everyone's living room. They don't want people ripping their PlayStation off the thing and falling on the floor. You know what I mean? So I feel like this is a pretty solid thing. It would be really interesting if there was like a little built-in PlayStation 4 in there, right, where they could kind of do standalone. I think the Upload VR guys were talking on their podcast about how it would be funny, like, because the PlayStation 4 is so loud, right? It's like every time you turn on your PlayStation 4, it's like you're at the airport and the jets are taking off in your backyard. And you put that shit on your face. It's going to be insane.
Yeah, no, especially if you have just the PlayStation. I mean, if you have the Pro, it's fine.
The
option is that you can, like a PlayStation 5, you can wear it on your back.
There you go. Like a backpack PlayStation.
Maybe I'm laughing about now and this is not going to age well, but it's actually a pretty legit like way to do it.
It's
lighter than the previous version. I mean, backpack, like sliding into something and then play with it.
Absolutely, man. I mean, Apple was originally talking about having a unit that is in the same room as their new AR/VR, whatever it's going to be, glasses, right? To help compensate the graphics and to really boost everything up. Now that kind of fell through the floor because Johnny Ive came in and went, that is not sexy enough, right? But they really, you know, that was the plan. So.
Dude, if you were wearing a PS5 on your back, you wouldn't be able to do your backward somersault in your living room while you're...
That was awesome, by the way.
Pretending to shoot at stuff.
Yeah.
Pretending, nightmare, yeah. I wish I could say more about like the whole PlayStation thing, because I had plans to go to Japan. I was going to meet up with Shuhai. I'm not sure if you know him. He's one of the coolest dudes of Sony for sure. And we were like going there to Japan to meet up with him, explore the, let's say, Japanese culture, and also go to, of course, the office. With the whole pandemic thing, I couldn't do that, so I had to cancel that trip, sadly. Sucks. And also that's go to the Olympic Games. I was like, I've never been to the Olympic Games. Let's do it. I mean, I need to experience this once in my life, right? Oh, and
totally.
Even cooler, Super Mario Land was about to open.
Dude, I'm going to Japan, by the way. When it opens, I am there. I'm day one, bro.
Yeah, we're going to... Yeah, yeah. I am such a Mario fan. And, you know, that's what turned me onto your channel originally. Because I scroll by and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy with Mario behind him? Oh, my God, I love this guy. He's my people. But, you know, so that's how I found your channel. Just Mario stuff. But definitely going to be hitting up Mario Land, dude. I don't care if there's, like, Gen 2 of this virus is out and everyone's dropping left and right. I'm like, if I'm gonna die, I'm going to freaking Mario Land, man.
Like in my opinion, like theme parks are the best thing ever.
They're
like,
amazing.
100%, dude.
Amazing.
I am right there with you. I fucking love Disneyland, dude. It is like the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the most fun hobby. Actually, like if a company wants to do business and it's like, let's say in LA or Anaheim or in a different place where there's also like a Disneyland. That's usually a part of the deal. I'm like, I would love to come over, but I want to go to Disneyland for a couple of days. That's why I went to Disneyland Shanghai twice, because the first time I visited Pimax, I'm like, listen, okay, I'll check out your factory where they make your headsets. I'll go to a VR Star Park and I go to your office to meet the CEO, because in China, you know, meeting CEO is like, it's like big thing, you know, it's like next level boss stuff. But then also going to Disneyland, like, you know, like, oh, VR stuff, okay, great, let's now go to Disneyland.
Amazing. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you're getting, you're pretty much doing why we have VR, to go and be placed into another world, right? Into just have a freaking good time.
It's immersive. It's super immersive. They sold the immersive experience before the technology existed.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm kind of curious, right? So you did travel you traveled a lot, and you were in China, like right as this whole thing was starting to explode, the coronavirus, right? I'm like, and I'm watching all this shit go down in the news, and I'm thinking to myself, fuck, Nathie's in China right now. Oh man, I hope Nathie comes home.
it was like I remember, like, I was with David, he's my brother, also manager, and he opened like the newspapers, like, yeah, there's like this unknown virus in China right now. We already knew even before we went there that there was like this virus, but I mean, we weren't that concerned, to be honest.
Nobody was in the beginning.
Yeah. No one. I mean, even a few months later, people were still not concerned.
Yeah. Hey, fucking America, we don't give two shits.
Right?
We never have. We've never been concerned.
It's unfortunate, man, because, like, especially in Arizona where we live, you know, Arizona was one of the worst, and it's mostly because people didn't give a fuck.
Hey, by the way, you know, you live in the Netherlands. You ever bounce over to Amsterdam and get between realities over there?
Some grass. Try some mushroom.
Yeah, cool place.
No, that's more tourist stuff. It's funny that, like, most people think that Amsterdam is just it. That's like the Netherlands, but there's more. There's more to it. Mm-hmm. Or people think I live in a windmill.
Can you blame them? Like, you post these videos where you're like riding this like cool little bike down like a country road, and there's like cows and shit off in the side, and it's like, you know, it's like it looks like you live in.
Looks fucking awesome.
Like, being such a techie person, but being in the middle of nowhere is like the best thing ever. People have no idea what's going on inside this this house. But yes, I mean, going back to China, I was there for 2 weeks. I've never been gone for that long, because usually I also need to go back home and I need to produce videos and stuff. And there's so many requests coming on your email. So yeah, you're like all over the place. But I was like, I need to go longer to China, because the first time I went to China was just me feeling adventurous. I remember Pimax sending me an email saying, like, we're at CES in Vegas. Do you want to come over and try out our stuff? And I was like, well, first of all, CES is like such an obvious event, because you just watch some videos, you know what it is, you know, because it's pretty like similar to what we have here in Europe, you know, when we have like a tech event. And I was like, wait, they're from China. Why don't I just suggest that I come to China to meet them and see what they are really working on? I was like, that's also my ticket to China and find out what is happening in Asia, because I was always very intrigued by the culture and also what they do with VR. I also always felt that when I have a conversation with people in the VR industry, people have no idea what China is. They have a very strange idea of what people do there. I was like, I need to just go and just kind of dive into it and see who these people are, how they like to work with you, what they see in VR and things like that. So yeah, I can tell you, like, it blew my complete mind. It was insane. I first of all, I've never been to a country before where I'm the only white guy, basically, where it's like, wait a second. For the first time, I feel like I'm in the, you know, I'm a, like a minority.
True minority. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, wow, all this VR stuff, it's so exciting. It's so amazing. Where are all the other people? Where the heck? I was like, listen, when was the last time like an American news outlet came here? He said, like, well, we had Road to VR come here in 2014.
What?
I'm like, wow. What? I said, like, what? I said, like, okay, so it almost felt like I was like this guy who discovered a new country that no one else discovered before.
The most populated country in the world.
People, like, when they saw me, they're like, whoa, like, Nathy is in China right now. They were so surprised that someone from Europe or America, because a lot of people think I'm American, is like that came to China, and they were so happy. And because of that, they said, like, oh, you need to come over again, and we got to work on this and that. So that's why I went again in January for the second time. And when I came back, I already had like two appointments to come back again. And I was like, I need to spend even more time in China, maybe even a month, and travel, because I don't know about you guys, but China is huge. China is like the biggest thing ever. And they're super dedicated. They're working really hard. And they make really good tech. It's just that
they do.
Translating that tech to our culture, to our like, countries, that's where it goes wrong. That's why, for example, HTC Vive has this strange reputation of us not knowing what they are doing. But when you're then there, because I've been to them, to their office, then you're like, oh, wait, I get it. This is why they think like that. And this is why they do that and that and that. And that's why it's so nice to be there from time to time and be that bridge between, okay, listen, this is how China works, this is how we think, and this is how you can kind of work together. So I love China. It's a great place to go to. Even now, because they seem to be very, you know, under control with the whole pandemic. If there's one place I feel safe, it's in China. I even got invited a couple of weeks ago to come. But the problem is I need to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. So,
And that's too long.
You know, I heard that it's going to go back to maybe a week, and that would be considerable, but it's like, you can't do much in a week. I mean, yeah, I could take my Quest with me. If that doesn't make Facebook too nervous, but, yeah, I could take it with me and, you know, play with it and make some videos. But I mean, it's a long stretch, a week, you know, sitting inside. And where in America I could be like, oh, well, everyone, like, I look American, just like, well, you guys are American, like, you don't see a difference. But in China, I can't just be like, oh, you know, screw the rules, let's go outside, yay. Right. It's like, because I don't look like a Chinese person. So, so I could never pull that off. But I can tell you guys, it really sucks to not be traveling right now. Yeah. It's like a big part of our, not only our excitement, our like drive and motivation, it's also a big part of our income too. We're traveling so much. Like, I think last year I went to the US like 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. There were even moments where I was like considering to even like rent a place there for a while, because it's like, there were moments where I was at E3 and then you sit there with someone from like Google, for example, and it's like, oh, so in 2 weeks there's VidCon. You want to come over and talk about VR and 180? I'm like, listen, we're talking about already the next time I'm going to be in the US, and I'm still in the US. Right. So in 2 weeks, I'll already need to fly again. I'm like, I'm here now. So, you know, and that's insane, where it's like, whoa, I'm traveling so much. And I also realized how many trips I had to cancel. I was going to Korea. I was going to Japan. Ooh. I was going to the US a couple of times.
Man.
I was going to visit Valve. I was going to do so many cool things. That just didn't work out in the end. I think the last trip I made was to iIllusions for Space Pirate Arena, but after that, that was it. So,
Here's a question for you. Do you think, since we're talking about this kind of whole pandemic thing and how it's fucking everything up, do you think, you know, right before the pandemic, Half-Life Alyx was the biggest rage, right? The Index came out, everyone was dying to get it. Half-Life was about to come out, and then the pandemic hit, and I saw dips in you know, different YouTube channels and people watching streams about VR, and everyone was watching the news and everyone was scared, you know, and everyone stopped kind of caring about their hobbies and the things that they cared about before. So I'm wondering, do you think the pandemic hurt VR in the long run? Or do you think in the long run it's going to make it even more successful, because now we have ways to travel without traveling, to have that sense of presence and in the same room as somebody else and really, really kind of feel like we're there? What do you think? How do you think that's going to go?
I mean, it's a bit like 50-50, because on one side, a lot of innovation has happened on the remote work side. Developers had to think more about, okay, I can't just sell a game and it's kind of shitty and I just work on it for 6 months and I'm going to get away with it. Where it was like, oh, wait, you know, the pandemic, I need to pay my rent for my studio. Everyone got a little bit more serious, you know what I mean? And because they got more serious, they were also more motivated to really make something decent. But of course, also a lot of companies went bankrupt because of the whole, like, they didn't save up any money for, who saves up money for a pandemic? No one knows that a pandemic is around the corner. So yeah, a lot of studios, a lot of developers, a lot of hardware manufacturers, they couldn't do it anymore and they just disappeared. But yeah, in terms of like adoption, I think, yeah, a lot of people bought a headset. People were more at home. People were spending more money. I mean, here in the Netherlands, people have been spending more money this year than last year because of the fact they're home and they're bored and they buy stuff. I mean, everyone does that. So yeah, I think like it's a bit 50-50. On the YouTube side, I first thought, I was like, yes. I was like, of course, pandemic, it's bad. But on the internet side, I was like, everyone is going to watch YouTube now. It's like, I'm going to see an insane growth because people are all going to be at home and they're going to watch some videos. But funny enough, that wasn't necessarily the case. There were more people watching, but the problem was that let's say you had Coca-Cola who was shooting advertisement for a certain season with a lot of people in there, like for example like a party at a house and people were all drinking Coca-Cola. You couldn't really put that on YouTube anymore as an advertisement, so they had to pull it out of it as an advertisement and make something new. And because of that, I don't get that advertising on my video, resulting into less income. So like I've said it before, but it's like there aren't that many full-time VR content creators out there. It's me and it's Mike and a few others, but it's a miracle we are still around, I tell you. Yeah. It's that we build our businesses in a smart way where you're not dependent on only the views, and there's more to it. But yeah, I was like, it's a miracle that my company, my YouTube channel is still afloat. And now, of course, everything is going well with the Quest 2. But I mean, 2020 has been pretty rough. I mean, if you look at the hardware, there haven't been many releases. Games-wise, there hasn't been much. PC VR, no offense, is kind of dead right now. I don't want it to be dead. I love PC VR. That's how I started. But standalone is eating up everything right now.
Yeah, it's true.
Half-Life Alyx was a good one. But it put the expectations so insanely high.
Yeah.
That people, yeah. Like, I remember one of my friends saying, like, oh, I'm buying a Rift S for Half-Life Alyx. So he played the whole game, then he sold it. I'm like, yeah, you can be like, why are you doing that? There's so many other games. But if you really think about it outside of the bubble, like Half-Life Alyx, that's the limit. And if you play that, everything else is kind of bad. Because it's just the level is too high. And Valve was like, let's just put something. For Valve, this was like a hobby project in a way.
Yeah, for sure. Crazy.
Right. So. You know, so that's all. Yeah, I agree with you entirely. And, you know, I'm starting to see it kind of like, you know, what you're talking about, like the pandemic maybe helping. I'm seeing that manifest in like some different ways, you know, that like maybe we wouldn't expect, right? Like you would expect everyone runs to YouTube. Turns out that's not what happened, you know, or, you know, there's problems that we didn't foresee that, you know, prevented that from being awesome or maybe being what we thought would happen. But, you know, there are other industries and stuff. Like the first thing that comes to mind is my buddy Kyle Render, who has his Fail to Render comedy club in AltSpace VR, where they are paying comedians who cannot perform because of the pandemic to join them in AltSpace and give live stand-up comedy sets in there. And people are donating on Venmo and coming to the show weekly. Yeah. And they're like, they're building something. They incorporated that shit. They incorporated a comedy club that exists in VR only.
Well, epic. Yeah.
And that would not have happened had the pandemic not pushed them into that, you know? So I do see it like trickling into these other things that like maybe we wouldn't do. Now there's these comics who have never played VR ever going and buying Go's so they can jump into this comedy set and, you know, do it cheaply. And of course, once they get the taste of that, they'll realize that they see people moving around in sixed off in there and they're like, what the fuck? Why can't I do that? Where's my second hand? And it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It forced people to innovate, and it forced people to find different ways of making money and getting, you know, like translating their work into something else. And VR has been a good tool for that. But VR is still very small, you know. Like I see more conversations on LinkedIn now about remote work, and it's very interesting that you have for everything something. You know, you have something for meetups, you have something for product, you know, reviews and things like that. Mm-hmm. Even stock markets where like you have Wall Street in VR. It all exists. It's just that it needs to be seamlessly working. Because VR in many ways is still, you know, you need to put on your headset. You hope that the server works, you connect to, then your headset is doing something funky again. So there is some work that needs to be done. But yeah, I think we really took a big step forward because of the pandemic, something that maybe people would have invented like 5 years later. But now it's like we need to do it now because people need it, you know? So
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Mark in the chat. Thanks for joining us, waking up and making it to the show, and get to the Choppa, who's been gassing us up in the chat, man. Thank you for the kind words. We love you. And he was on our show earlier this season. He was our first guest, I think, of season two. So if you haven't checked out that episode, definitely go back in time and catch that show with Get to the Choppa, Danish.
Yeah, that was a great episode. You know, one thing I kind of wanted to get your opinion on here, and I was just kind of looking for the article to pull up, but
you don't need it.
Yeah, but recently Palmer Luckey is back in the news
because
Yeah, yeah. So if, for anyone that doesn't know, Palmer Luckey was the original creator of the Oculus Rift. He created this... Oh, I should change the scene here. He created this this whole VR industry pretty much in a trailer in front of his parents' house, and he just duct taped everything together, and man, he just made it work. Super smart freaking guy, man. Obviously, Facebook bought Oculus from Palmer Luckey, and Palmer was always talking about how, don't worry guys, you're not going to need a Facebook account, they promised me, blah 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 blah. Now they have turned on that, as we all know, and Palmer is now donating a butt ton of money to SideQuest. Mm-hmm. Kind of as a, you know, I don't know, it's kind of almost like, you know, that's the direction he believes it should be, right? It should be a free VR where people can kind of put all, you know, use all the software they want. But I just found it really interesting that the man, you know, like the VR man, he's kind of like stepped up and made a statement with his checkbook.
He sound like, by him doing that, he sounds concerned. And well, he knows he can only slow it down, you know, he can only slow down the process, because if, well, let's say Palmer Luckey prevents Facebook from completely taking over SideQuest, they just make their own, because they're going to do it anyways. So it's for him, it's nice that he does it. I think it's great. He also did it with Revive. Hail to the guy who made Revive. I mean, I'm a total supporter for open VR. You know, I think that closed systems is not what we need right now in the VR industry. Of course, it sells headsets. I mean, you can only play Iron Man on the PlayStation VR. I would have bought a headset just because of that game. And it's the same with, you know, of course, like the new Beat Saber. Like, if Beat Saber 2 is going to be a thing, if that's still as good as the first one, then they can also sell headsets with that. But yeah, hearing from Palmer that he did that is amazing news. It's just that, yeah, as I said, like, he can't stop Facebook from making
this
their
isn't going to save you, Palmer Luckey. We don't care how much money you give to SideQuest. You fucked us.
And we know. Yeah, dude, for sure. But at the same time, man, you know, he knows it's not going to change. It's not going to really change things. But I feel like it was more of a statement to Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook family, kind of going against everything that they said. I mean, we've seen over I feel like every month Facebook comes out and says something, and then the next month they do something else. So you know, for anyone...
Yeah, we should judge them by their actions, not their words.
Judge them by their actions. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, this money that he gave is just pocket money for the man. And it's more, as you said, like, making a statement. Palmer Luckey being, for me, is still, like, one of the, you know, main guys in the VR scene. Of course, he does a lot of stuff on the side. You can have a whole discussion about that. But if we're only focusing on the VR side of this man, it's really, really amazing what he has pulled off. And it's also very special that he donates to SideQuest, because there aren't that many other people out there who say, like, oh, here's some money, and this is why I do it. And there aren't that many people with that much money or are still involved with it. I'm sure he's, you know, reading Reddit almost on a daily basis, keeping an eye on what's going on in the industry. I had the pleasure to meet him twice. And if you start talking about VR, it's like you're talking to the person who freaking invented it. Of course, like, VR was already around in the 90s, but like rebooting VR. It's funny. Like,
technology, and
I remember saying to him, because we had like dinner with some people from the industry. He was also there. I was like sitting next to him, and I said, like, I was introducing myself. I was like, this guy doesn't know what, like, who I am and stuff like that. But I was like, hey, listen, dude, this is what I do. Really like it. Thank you for giving me a job.
Yeah.
Like, and you guys as well, like, this podcast, everything, almost everything is built on this guy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy. You know, even that Facebook took it over, he put that in the works. So he's like the core of the VR scene, of like the last, let's say, you know, what is it, like 8 years
or Yeah, that since the beginning of this latest gen of VR, you know, I mean, yeah, VR was around before, but I mean, you know, let's be real. I remember playing Dactyl Nightmare at 20 frames a second, you know, with like a little crane arm that would hold this giant CRT screen that was mounted to my face, you know. But at this other at the other end of that, you know, that really got me obsessed with VR. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, the dude really just stepped up and just created the technology didn't exist, so he made it with like duct tape and a soldering gun. Like, who the fuck does that?
You know who else
who
made it? Rendered Reality. You Woo! Made it. What's Thanks up, for being reality? Here. That's probably Sean. I'm pretty sure he's always the one behind it. Oh yeah, Rendered Reality T-shirt, bro. Yeah. When we wear the shirt, you gotta be here.
Yeah, dude.
Like, you can't not be here if he's wearing the shirt. Unbelievable. So. This will be the segment of the show. Maybe we'll name this or something in the future, where I like to bounce the ball into the court of our guest and give them the opportunity to start a conversation or ask us a question or bring up a point that they do not think gets enough attention, and maybe they haven't had a chance to do so on their own platforms if they have them. So, Mr. Nathie, I was wondering, is there anything that we need to be talking about right now, or something that you want to ask or what you want to get into?
Yeah, that's a good one. Like, I honestly, I didn't think about any questions, but I mean, we covered a lot of stuff already. If you think about it,
we've been doing good, and you know, I don't, I certainly, we don't, you know, doesn't ever need to be anything, but. I always feel like, you know, we have a guest on and like we're running the show, you know, like we're the one that are like asking the questions, I guess, right? And I always want to make sure that our guest has the chance to like bring up something or talk about something or whatever it is. Yep. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But you don't have to. You don't have to. You're gonna defer it. Lucas Risotto also deferred it.
Deferred it. Wow. Yeah. Lucas Risotto. So like a very artistic man.
He is.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he's a great dude, man. That guy sees the world very differently, and that's what makes him so special, you know? There's just, you know, where thoughts go, I didn't think I was going to like that, and then I got in there, and it almost brought me to tears, you know? So the dude is
He made the
so
best
cool.
goddamn YouTube video I've ever seen.
Yeah, that time machine video was...
It inspired me so much. Like, I was sitting there watching that. I was like, God damn, dude. He made a good video.
Yeah. He crushed it, man.
Lucas Risotto, and there's so many others in the VR industry are, you know, very unique and do something that is different than the rest, are not going necessarily for the big monies, you know. If you want to get big monies, you make another wave-based shooter. He goes for something that adds something to it that proves VR having like a new kind of like, you know, message to bring to people. I don't know about you guys, but if you go to events, if you go to Oculus Connect or you go to VR days, or I mean, there's so many events, but it's like you get to discover that the VR community doesn't think in problems but in solutions, you know. It's like when you're there, everyone is super excited, everyone has ideas, everyone wants to work on everything, and that's great, and that drives the whole industry. It's amazing. It's actually so dedicated that at an event that is now called Facebook Connect, it's you know, the show is getting run by Facebook, but everyone else comes there. Also competition, you know,
right?
PC is there, and you know, Google is there, and other, like, I remember last time I was like, I came out of like a game, and it's this guy's like, hey, you know, it's me from YouTube gaming. I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? You know, and it's like everyone is just there, and that's so fun, you know. It doesn't really matter. I don't know if it will ever change. I do remember people sometimes having to sign up with their just personal name and not mention their company, because then they might not get access, because, you know, some events they monitor who you are and then you get in. But it's just great to have like this main place and have to talk to people like Lucas Risotto and others that all do something fun, you know. They're super welcome. I I'm more interested in people that do something unique and show off something new than someone hitting me up in the email again saying like, oh, hey, I made a shooter, and this time you cannot shoot zombies but aliens or sheep or dinosaurs. Listen, you know, that was fun in 2016, but now, like, I barely play games nowadays. I really seem to not covering that much anymore. Well, I used to like go on Oculus Share and download everything because everything was new, everything was exciting. But now it's like, oh, I've seen this before. And also your audience, you know, people on YouTube are also a little bit tired of the same generic stuff. So you really need to pull off some new things, you know? And I mean, yeah, content is a very important factor.
Are you playing, I know you're kind of a flat gamer. Are you playing any flat games that you're in love with right now?
Well, I don't have that much time to play just games for fun at the moment. That sounds weird when I say that, because it's like, oh, so the VR games you play are not... Well, I mean, it's fun too. You need to know that the games I play, it's also work. When you're a consumer, let's say you jump into Saints and Sinners, you know, on Quest, it's like, oh, you can just play the game and mess up and just look around like there is no tomorrow. Well, if I play a game, I need to slowly look around. I don't want to get people motion sick. I need to know what I'm talking about. I want to easily explain people what's going on, stuff like that. So when I then casually play, that's like relax moment. And usually, yeah, I play games that are not in VR, pancake stuff, as we call it. And that's, I mean, I love Rocket League, I really do.
Dude, me too. And it just went free to play yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Like, I went in there. There were like a million people online.
A million. And it's cross progression, which is the thing that blows my mind. I like jumped on my Switch and all my cars from PS4 were there. I was like, yes.
But I had a flashback because when I played it, it said like you now need an Epic Games account to be able to play the game. And it's like, I've been playing this game for 3 years. So it's the same with Quest too. You see, like, it's the same story, but it happens everywhere. Yeah. So I already had an Epic Games account. It's like, oh, you must have played Fortnite, so you have an Epic Games account. It's like they assume that everyone played Fortnite. Right. But yeah, that's what I like to play the most because it's short and it's like 5 minutes rounds.
Right.
So when I have like a call or I need to answer something, in 5 minutes I'm done. And it's funny, sometimes when I have an important meeting, I actually play Rocket League while I'm talking to people and doing business. So it's like just like I always make sure that you can't see it behind me because they're like, is he playing games? And also hiding my controller. I mean, as long as we can, you know, collaborate, I mean, it's fine, right? That's what I like so much. Like, I'm my own boss. I can do whatever I want. If you want to work with me, fine. If you don't want to work with me because I play Rocket League while I'm talking to you, I mean,
that's amazing. Dude, VR content creation is serious work, bro. Like, I've just like been dabbling on Twitch lately because I also am a flat gamer. I enjoy playing flat games regularly. And I was like, you know, if I'm going to be playing these, maybe I'll start a Twitch, you know, invite people who know me from the VR community to come and hang out or whatever, you know. And holy shit, is it easy. God, like, you just set up your camera and you go and it's done. And it, like, to do this, I mean, this is
VR content creation.
But yeah, VR content creation, dude, I need to like, you know, make sure the room is spaced out and like everything's there. And is the base station good? And okay, now let's get this other thing in OBS. Okay, cool. Yeah. And now this, and it's just like, you have, there's like, I don't know, 20 minutes of setup for me in my situation in order to like start recording some high quality VR content. Or I could just sit down at my computer and play Rocket League and they're making content there, you know? So I don't think people realize how hard it can be to make good looking, high quality VR content for YouTube.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is.
It just takes a lot of extra time.
It is hard. And we're talking to the king of that right now.
That
quality content.
I mean, the tools are not there, right? So like where if you play, you know, Rocket League, you can just use Shadow Play or the new, you know, NVIDIA system or use OBS, see what's going on. Well, now in VR, it's still, there's no function to, well, I mean, kind of technically to see that you are still recording or monitoring stuff. But I mean, live streaming or recording videos, it's still a hassle. There are moments where the frame rate is not right, where you didn't hit record because you can't see it in VR. That's the problem. Yeah.
That's the worst.
Or your audio, like you use a wireless microphone and the frequency isn't right and something happens. I don't know. There are like so many problems. Or the output isn't great, where the field of view is like zoomed in and you're like, people could only see the left side of my HUD and that's all. Yeah, I'm kind of used to it now. Like I've been like, as I said, like I started trying to record with the DK1. I remember we like having a tool that converted like the two eyes into like a 2D kind of 3D picture. Like I used to not be disappointed anymore. I can't be disappointed anymore. If my recording fails, I can't even rage about it anymore.
Typical.
It's like so standard. Common. Yeah. Or a game not having the recording features I want. It's like, yeah, well, that's pretty normal, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say real quick, well, there's some codes flying around there in chat. I dropped in a Star Blazer code because they just went out of early access in their full release now. So I threw it in there. About to hit. There's another one for you guys, some Star Blazer action. And I saw that Get to the Chop of VR threw out a PlayStation VR code.
What? Which is for budget cuts, maybe?
Yeah, budget cuts. I saw
some of those flying around.
Yeah. So free games.
Yeah, and Paint Pros Colorado is here, and Mepper is here. Thanks for joining us. And Semin's here also. Semin, I missed
that. Paradise Decay.
Oh, yeah, you know, PDC.
P-Diddy. Oh, P-Diddy.
P-Diddy. Well, I feel like we're getting there.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like this is happening, you know, and it's like, it's almost sad. Like, it actually is sad. You know,
I hate when the show's on.
We've been stoked to have Nathie on, and dude, you're fucking legendary, man. Like, thank you for coming on to our little show and being a part of this, dude. It means so much to us.
It really does, man.
It's weird. Like, when I talk to people about everything VR, it feels like we have been speaking about so many things, but it's like endless. You know, there is so much to talk about. There's so much going on. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And hopefully next year, things are going to get a little bit better in terms of pandemic wise, also VR wise. I think we should get some more adoption content wise. More competition.
Feel free to download this video after we're done and just post it straight to your channel. That's fine with us. And
Nathie, meant everybody. Obviously.
Yeah. No, I'm just fucking around. But seriously, dude.
I don't know. It sounded like you wanted, because you guys were like trying to get a certain milestone, right? So it's like a funny coincidence.
Oh, 400 subs. Can we have 400 subs? That would be sweet if.
If we
forget to say subscribe, please subscribe. It really does mean the world to us. But we always forget to say it, right? Because we're just so excited to do this fucking show that we come in, we're like, let's do it.
Well, numbers are cool, but certainly it doesn't really mean, you know, too much. The larger audience, the better, of course. Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're here because we love this stuff. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't love this stuff. Yeah. So that's thanks, man. Really, really appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, hey, no problem, guys. And hopefully, like, this podcast that you have turns into more than just a hobby. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal.
Cool, you know, because we really are just passionate about VR, man. I mean, I just want to see this technology grow, and it really is for a selfish reason, because I want to use VR. I want to see VR multiplayer lobbies full. I want to go in meetings in VR. I want to chat with people and hang out with people in VR. So it is a little selfish. I just want everyone in there, man. And it's fucking amazing. And I feel like this secret should not be a secret. I mean, everyone should try this shit and get their minds blown like I did, because it's just fucking amazing.
All right. Well, we'll eject Nathie from the ship here for a minute before we end the show. Thanks,
bye,
Nathie. Nathie.
Thanks for being here. Bye.
Adios. Kicking him out, Space Ghost style. And thank you all so much in the chat for being here. Such an epic crew in the chat. Tyrael Wood, VR Essentials, Rendered Reality, Paradise Decay. You guys are all fucking legendary. You know, Semin Bauer joined us near the end. All you guys, dude, thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
We love doing this show, we love it especially more when you share it with us.
And listen, guys, next week starts something big, right? We're going to be doing Women and XR all month for October. Only women that are involved in this industry. And we got some killer guests, man. Yep. We got some great, great influential people that have really, really made this industry thrive.
There's no shortage of awesome ladies in the VR space. It was not hard for us to get six women to join us during October. Yeah. Maybe even like six or seven, I forget. But we have a lot of them. And next week we have Anna Ribeiro, the developer of Pixel Rift 1989 and Pixel Rift 1995, which of course we're huge fans of.
Yeah.
And she's awesome. So I can't wait to have her on the show.
Yep.
So you guys can look forward to that next week. Thank you, Skiva, for piloting the ship. Bro. And thank you all again. Enjoy your day. Yeah. And we will see
you again about that robot overtake. Yeah. We're really trying to get that shit.
We're doing what we can.
Fixed, yeah.
Have a good day, everybody. All right. We'll see you next time.
Adios. Bye-bye.
Yeah.